overcoming procrastination. So looking at procrastination, I've wanted to speak on this for a long time, and I just never got around to it. So, my daughter Nicole said, yeah, say that. Again, I love to have you turn to your word, but there's a potpourri of passages, and it's just a really challenging to get. It takes too much time. So let me just go through these again. A number of these are in Proverbs. It's very interesting that Proverbs brings this kind of issue up under the umbrella of being a sluggard. Anybody know what a sluggard is? Somebody who's slothful? Carrie? What'd you say? Lazy. Oh, yeah, lazy. Any other words? Caleb, I thought you were going to the mic. Any other words? Yeah, so think of that. Slothful, lazy. A sloth from slothful children. That's an animal that moves really slow. Like slower than a turtle. And eventually it kind of gets somewhere. It only to change its mind and go back down because it forgot something. Then slowly comes up again. Well, there are people like that. And so that's what is reflected in this Proverbs 26 and procrastination. So let me read a number of passages again from Proverbs and commenting on each one very briefly. Proverbs 10, verse 4. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. These are phenomenal principles that are solid rock truth. If we're going to live in this kind of world, these are the things that work in this kind of reality that God has given us. So, lazy hands bring poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. That is, inaction leads to lack. But God doesn't want us to be lacking in anything. And so it's not a health and wealth gospel. He wants us to be restored to what we're meant to have been. And he doesn't want, just as we don't want our children to lack, he doesn't want us to lack. 2 Kings 12:24 in Proverbs, diligent hands will rule, but lazy hands end in forced labor. Procrastination is eventually a result of being forced to do something else that we might have even chosen what to do and sought it diligently. 13:4, a sluggard or a lazy person's appetite is never satisfied or never fulfilled, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. It's already casting us in a big difference between the way God made us and the way the fall has affected us, how we're called to work. That's good. In the new creation, when all this is done, in the new creation, will there be work? Yeah, there will be work in heaven. Nothing was wrong in the garden.
Already. Yeah.
Donnie can be my sleeping.
That's a part of another lesson as well.
13-4, I slept with you. I'm sorry, I said just that you were on the hill, but the desires of the hills were for the distance. Verse 14:23-27:1. All hard work brings a profit. Profit bad? Socialism perhaps, but not in the scriptures. Profit is good because you work for them, but mere talk only leads to poverty. Always talking about this. Never get around. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. And procrastination is the enemy of your faith. Hope of tomorrow. 18:9. One who is slack in his work is a brother in spirit to one who is faithless. So delay a pursuit of whatever God has called us to do is a destructive behavior. Sluggards, again, it just keeps coming up. Sluggards do not erase people, do not plow in season. So at harvest time, they look, but they don't find anything. Then 21:17, the last one. Whoever loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and olive oil will never be rich. That means love and success. Are you feeling the voice of your heart problems? Pretty good, really. done. And it means to defer. It literally means to defer till morning. We'll take a real literal translation of just a minute. It comes from the word pro, in Latin for, and prosthenus, meaning belonging to tomorrow. From crass, tomorrow, or pros, tomorrow. So it literally means for, pro, prosthenus, for, tomorrow. Or, it means forever tomorrow. What a funny word. Fine. The word that we transliterate, it means to take each letter and put it into your language. Shape it a little bit so that it works well. You can almost translate it word, letter for letter. Procrastinate and procrastination. Well, does the Bible have anything to say about procrastination? Well, you've already seen it, and it says a lot more than that. Absolutely it does. In fact, it says a ton about it, and it goes all the way down really to the core of our being, who we are, and how we function in the world around us. There are 86,400 seconds in a day. God reveals to us in our home that we're called to use those seconds well and wisely because we've been given a purpose in this life for this day. Procrastination is a mindset. It's a condition of the mind and the heart that says, I'll do it tomorrow, or I just don't feel like doing it. Yeah. When we procrastinate, we put off or postpone something important in exchange for doing something else. Even if that thing is nothing at all, that's what we've chosen to do. I don't want to do anything. I just want to sit and relax, or nothing, or veg, like being a vegetable, you know, picture a great big squeak on a couch, and there it sits, and it doesn't do very much at all. Sometimes the zucchini is faster than the slow. Think about that. If you choose to do nothing, technically, you're still choosing to do something, right? Okay. Second, how do we procrastinate? It seems that the root of it is a kind of laziness or avoidance. Humankind is often lazy by nature after the fall. A lot of times we'd rather sleep, we'd rather rest. Proverbs 6, verse 10 says, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. We'll get to the outcome. So, what do we do? Well, agree. But why do we procrastinate? Why do we do it? Well, we often just don't want to do it. Why? It's something that may be unpleasant, or it's not as pleasant as something else I could do, and we opt for that. It might be hard. It might be smelly. It might be challenging or dirty, unpleasant, or we're uncertain how to do it. But that's not an excuse, right? Because we live with other human beings. And especially today when we have the internet, you can Google it and find out how to do it. I've worked and changed bricks on a German facade. I have a German built facade, and the Germans seem to make everything often complicated. I've learned to fillet fish, northern pike, one of the harder fish to fillet. Just Google it. There are no excuses today. If you don't have a dad, if you don't have a mentor, if you don't have a neighbor, if you're the only one in the world, just Google it, and there's the answer. Hopefully no leads is running well. Proverbs 6, verses 10 through 11 says, picking up on what we look at, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and what happens? Poverty will come upon you like a robber. And one, it's one like a robber. We like to express that and think that we have our own autonomy. I'll decide what I want to do, when I want to do it. Don't be in my business. Unfortunately, that often becomes an excuse, and many people never get around to doing what they should have done today, or yesterday, or a month ago. Sometimes, 20 to 30 years ago. A person who has something that has to be done, but starts the sentence, I either carries it out, reflects a person who's controlled by the things, rather than a person who's responsible and mature or maturing. A lot of times you just say, well, I'd rather be fishing, I'd rather be hunting, I'd rather be doing this, but here we are fixing or doing this. That's okay. But when I say I'd rather, I follow through with whatever it is. You can fish till the king comes and everything else falls apart around. So why do so few people wave the magic wand and call tomorrow? I'll get to it tomorrow. So frequently. At times it's because we feel like we just don't have what it takes to do it. Or we don't have the energy to clean the bathroom. Or clean the bathroom around the toilet. We don't have motivation to write a challenging report today. We don't send pictures to mom. I just don't have that inner spark for this creative work today. We may pray for strength. We may not. But either way, we eventually turn aside with weak intentions and end up acquiescing tomorrow. In those times when we stare at something that is hard and challenging or just yuck, and we don't feel like we have the strength to do it, we often forget that God is the one who does give us the strength. But only when we start doing it, however yuck the job is, our sweet, tender, water, cold, caught chickens, junior high, and huge chicken coops right behind our house between Overijssel and Hamilton. And it made her strong and persevering. If she could work and come home smelling like pee and chicken poop, well, she learned to tackle anything. She can today be the most elegant woman, the wife of a lieutenant colonel, and the mother of four. But the Pris was driven out. The Pris was driven out. And she became a tower of discipline, strength, and fortitude and grace. And there were times where at home, with our children, I could have done lots of other stuff and not have them do it. wait for it to happen. When they stepped in, Joshua 3, that's what happened. The widow's oil flowed only when she poured it out, 2 Kings 4. The 10 lepers were cleansed only after they believed and walked away from Jesus, Luke 17. And a lot of times, God works his strength in us only when and not before we start to do that calling. Paul knew all about this. The famous verse he wrote in Philippians, that's why he wrote to them and told them, continue to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Worry. But don't worry, because, or for, it is God who works in you to will and to act. It's interesting. Not just will, but to act as well in order to fulfill his own purposes. Listen to what J.I. Packer said. He once wrote in the book, Keep in Step with the Spirit, hardworking Christians expect help from God for each day's trouble, strength from God for obedience in each day's task. They find that the very strength of their expectations of being helped is used by the Spirit to give them energy to, some people know this, to keep on keeping on in the humdrum routines of every day. What Packer was saying was, some people wait to work until they feel strong. Others say, I'm going to get to work, and my hope is God is going to give me the strength to do it. Those folks know that the energy to accomplish those tasks, those yuck jobs, those hard things, that strength comes by the Lord. But even the unbeliever will know, so even once you start something, it's easier to keep going in it. But it comes to those who are responding and don't give in to the temptation to say, I just don't feel like it. That's a detriment for so many, especially guys. That's why Proverbs tackles women and their use of the tongue. Proverbs tackles men in the area of laziness, slothfulness, being sluggards. A lot of those things are talking about, those verses are talking about. So when we face some undesirable duty and we feel our inner weakness, a wise person learns to say, I'm not waiting till tomorrow. I'm tackling it today and trust in God. Let me just say to a lot of the young people so that you know, for the adults that you see around you see men and women, I believe, who have dealt with easy jobs, hard jobs, dirty jobs, yuck jobs, jobs that they didn't want to do necessarily, jobs that were jobs, but they didn't mind them. Then the mower breaks. You gotta grind your blades down, sharpen them, all that kind of stuff. And I really don't want to do it. There's a million things in life I don't want to do. And the adults around me didn't want to do it. They had a choice. They'd rather, but not really, because they've understood this themselves to realize and say, but no, this is important. This is how the world works, right? It's how the clock ticks. This is something we have to tackle. And so, just do it. A lot of the, something we talked about before, not the issue itself, but our attitude towards the issue. Somebody does something to us, but it's our mindset towards what they do. A lot of this has to do with your attitude and your heart caring. And there are young guys who tackle all kinds of hard stuff with joy, and young gals who do the same. Those are the I don't want you to live in an area of slugger or sloth. I want you to be there as somebody who's willing to see how this world involves work, right? That's why, in a sense, 6 days you shall work and do all your labor. Would not invest to maintain your promises. When we first moved here, Holland was an area where there was that tremendous balance. Worked hard as a whole, generally, in this community. There were hard workers, and there were Sunday, say, there were areas that were open. Powell Hospital, Cleveland Hospital, the fire department, the police department. And then there were, I think, maybe two gas stations that were open. Maybe Clark on Main Street and the restaurant Mr. Slate. Remember that? Outside of that, maybe you'll think about this. Outside of that, everybody was missing. And I just heard the debate and discussion on this whole issue about how it benefits the believers, but it benefits the unbelievers. It benefits a community because it's how we were made to live in this kind of world. God could have created a different kind of world and we would rest or do whatever or think whatever differently. But this is this world. This reality. And so that day of rest. And that's why it's really a tragedy when we as Christians end up allowing this to come into a day of rest. Whatever day of rest is for you. And we allow this to come and we start to work on this. And it's nice to have this done for the week ahead. Sometimes that's necessary. We need the car and brakes or something like that. And having another trip with us, we're going down. Pastoring and our breaks now. We happen to be right by a PCA church. The guys are going to be after you, helping go to the store, get breaks, even color your coffee so we can raise the Lord if we ever break down. And we fix it and we're on our way later that night. But when we're letting the world into our minds and our hearts, you're losing the rest God created. That's a good thing. And I'm not saying you have to sleep all afternoon. That's a misappropriation of rest. Sleep until everything you need to. You know, most of the laws here. But this is a day for us to celebrate a new creation. What will it be like in the new creation? That's what I'm going to grab hold of and suck back into my world today. And that's what I'm going to do today. And I'm going to enjoy the creation around me. I'm going to enjoy the family. I'm going to enjoy the brothers and sisters. Proverbs 24, the king tells us about it. It is having one. eye out for us from the field. And we make some interesting connections between what he sees and the man who owns all the possession. We refer to him as a lazy person, a sluggard. And he tied together the vineyard owner's laziness with his giving in to the temptation to procrastinate. The frame of mind that says, I'll do it tomorrow, I just don't feel like doing it today. Proverbs 24. I mean, this is sound in an actual, this isn't a parable or a story about it. This is something that he saw, and took hold of as most of the Proverbs are. He saw what was going on in creation, whether it was a man, a worm, or a bug, and he took hold of that and learned something from it. He said, I went past the field of a lazy person, past the vineyard of someone who realizes